This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
So yeah, please do support Surfshark, as I've just mentioned there. Today, though, I am joined by Goals' Neil Jones. We're going to be talking about Nico Williams, about Nat Phillips, a little bit of Harry Wilson, Grealish, a few of the squad players and stuff like that, as well as Kelleher's new contract and Mo Salah and Konate potentially not going to the Olympics. Neil, thank you so much for joining us. Wait, let's get straight into it then. The Nico Williams situation, looks like he may want to leave Liverpool Football Club. Can you give us a little overview of what's happened so far and where you think this will lead to?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of a few things. I think, one, yeah, he may want to leave Liverpool Football Club. I think Liverpool also see a chance to make what they would deem decent money on someone who probably isn't going to play regularly first-team football. He is part of the first-team squad, but he's very much a backup for Trent Alexander-Arnold. And I think they see there's an opportunity there in this difficult time financially with the pandemic and with the market and the insecurities that brings, that they might be able to just do a deal that maybe suits all parties. From my perspective, it'd be a bit disappointing, I think, you know, to see a young player leave, especially one who's worked as hard as Nico's worked to get into that first team squad. His development over the last 2 years really, you know, has been pretty rapid, and to the point where he's now playing at the Euros for Wales, you know, he's starting games in a major tournament at 20 years of age. So yeah, it would be disappointing, but I think Liverpool maybe are being a bit pragmatic with it and saying that, well, if there's interest there and if the player himself is not averse to the idea of leaving, then it might just be something that suits everyone, apart from me.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I think, you know, just sort of moving away from the article slightly, but hitting a few touch points from it. Obviously, you mentioned Wolves, Southampton, Leeds could all potentially be interested in Nico. I think every Liverpool fan, myself included, is a bit like, well, he's the right back cover. You know, are Liverpool going to spend that £10 million if they get it, if they sell him, on another right back? I mean, but there's the problem, isn't it, Neil, is that how do you sign a back up for a world-class 22-year-old? It's just not a situation you're supposed to be in, is it? I mean, I know how to sign a backup player for a 30-year-old right-back who's world-class, because you get a young lad who's going to be ready in 2 to 3 years. But as Nico sees it, he's probably going, he could have 13 years behind Trent Alexander-Arnold there. It's such a difficult position for the club because Trent's so good and so young, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And they have a similar problem, really, at left-back, didn't he, with Tsimikas, and, you know, they've ended up having to buy someone that probably they wouldn't have bought as a first, they'd never have considered him as a first choice left back, I don't think, you know, long term. But I think the issue is probably, do you have to maybe look at your backup as someone who plays in a number of positions, i.e., you know, a James Milner. I know people don't like James Milner at fullback, but he does a job there absolutely fine. Joe Gomez has done it in the past. Obviously, I don't think Joe Gomez as a right back is anything like as effective as Joe Gomez as a centre back or anyone else as a right back, to be honest. But Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain potentially in the squad, who maybe you could sort of see playing the odd game at home as a right full back. I mean, mention of Conor Bradley, who's obviously already played for Northern Ireland, but you know, you're talking about Nico Williams being 2 years in advance of him. You look at Keanu Hoover, who went to Wolves last year, who was advanced of him. They weren't of the level or deemed of the level to play regularly. So the idea that you could say about a 17-year-old Conor Bradley, who's come over, you know, had one season in the academy, and you can sort of say, well, yeah, he's going to be part of the thinking. I don't see that being the case personally. So it is a challenge. You're banking a lot on Trent not getting injured. You're banking a lot on Robertson not getting injured. And we've seen other clubs have similar problems. You know, you think of Spurs with Harry Kane, you know, how difficult they found it to buy a striker really that can come in and you know, yeah, everyone wants to have the great backups, but only a handful of clubs really in the world can afford to sort of keep world-class players on their bench and keep them happy and pay them the wages that they want.
It's so true, isn't it? It's so difficult. I mean, you know, one name that you didn't mention then, I hope to God we don't see him at right back, but Fabinho's done it a handful of times for Brazil. We know that as well. And I think it's a real issue, isn't it? I think, you know, Liverpool's trying to get cover for Trent Alexander-Arnold, but, you know, maybe there is somebody within the squad, a few players, as you've mentioned there, that could do. I think another one, another big talking point, I suppose, at the moment, Neil, is Nat Phillips. Now, you've just interviewed him for Goal, actually. Brilliant article, by the way, mate. Some real insight into what Nat is thinking at the moment. Can you tell the viewers of RedmenTV.com where you think Nat is, having actually spoken to him?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's... I wouldn't say he's resigned to the fact that he's going to leave Liverpool. I wouldn't go that far, but I think he's very much realistic about the idea that the chances are, and it depends, like Nico Williams, like all transfers, it depends on the money on the table from another club, whether it's 12, 15 million pounds potentially for someone like him. I think he's of the mindset that when that offer comes, the chances are Liverpool are going to say, there's your chance, you know. And when Liverpool do say it, I think he'll take that chance. I don't see him sort of digging his heels in and saying, no, I'm going to stay and I'm going to show you that I can be first choice for Liverpool. I don't think that's in his mind. I think he's realistic about that. He's had a good run this season, you know, 20 games this season, major part in Liverpool finishing in the top three. But he's under no illusions that once Gomez is back fit, once Van Dijk's back fit, once Matip's back fit, once Konate's ingratiated, then you've still got Fabinho, you've still got Henderson, who's shown that they could and played ahead of Nat, don't forget, you know, at times last season. You've still got Reece Williams at the club, you've still got Ben Davis at the club, you know, the congestion at centre-back, if everyone is fit, and I know that's a big if given what happened last season, but is huge. So I don't think he's sort of particularly worried or particularly, you know, sad or concerned about the situation. I think he's just accepting of it, and I think he'll wait and see what develops. And I think one thing's for sure, and, you know, he says it himself in the interview, that compared to sort of 12 months ago, the options that he's going to have on the table this summer, whether it's staying at Liverpool or going on to a Premier League club most likely, are far greater than the options he would have had this time last year.
I think that's right. One thing that I always sort of think about with transfers is we always think of a winner and a loser in transfer situations, but it's possible for both to be a winner, isn't it? Yeah. You know, it's possible that Nat can go somewhere else and have a great career, and that's good for him. You know, he gets the football that he needs, he hits the heights that he wants to hit, and Liverpool get good money for him at the same time. Yeah. You know, obviously we know all about Liverpool's, you know, how they act in the market and they want to make money on players and stuff like that. You sell high, don't you? That's the idea. Yeah. And yeah. I can't imagine that if Nat Phillips sits on the bench, this is the highest he's going to be worth.
Yeah.
I'd guess. Yeah. So it's a good situation for Liverpool to be in. And one thing that I did pull from that interview, though, is that Nat's focused on coming back at Liverpool, which says to me, he knows, as you've sort of alluded to there, that he wants to come back for pre-season, he'll work hard. But if Liverpool's situation changes, he's ready to adapt. Is that sort of fair?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean that's the other side of it is obviously you don't know yet how Virgil, Joe Gomez, Joel Matip, how quickly they get back into the rhythm of things. You know, there's every chance with the Joe Gomez or the Van Dijk that they pick up a secondary injury, a thigh strain, a calf strain, a hamstring, whatever it may be, you know, as they ease back into the load of playing matches and training every day and, you know, doing the full sessions. So there is that risk. I think you're right about selling high and maintaining the value. You know, you think back really, don't you? You know, you see the reaction to this news of Nico Williams and Nat Phillips, and you see the sort of outcry that comes from some supporters. But you think if you'd have said in October you're going to get £15 million or £12 million or £10 million for Nat Phillips, people are saying, well, you know, Michael Edwards is a genius, all of a sudden it becomes, you know, well, no, we need a fifth and sixth choice centre back at the club. And so you have to balance those two things off. You know, I don't think many people would be happy, for example, if Nico Williams was starting the first Premier League game of the season, but yet they want him to sit and, you know, twiddle his thumbs in the squads. You know, I think these two players, and I think Nat says it himself in the interview I did with him, and he actually says it in quotes that I didn't use, which I can tell you now. I mean, he says that he started late in professional football. I mean, he made his competitive debut, I think, when he was 22. And he feels like he's wasted sort of already 4 years of his career, because some players have got 100, 150 games by the time they're 22. You know, I mean, look at Reece Williams now, for example. Reece Williams is a couple of years younger. I think Reece Williams has got four times maybe as many games, professional game, or, you know, senior games. So it's not, there's no time to waste for him. And I think he feels like he's not saying he's proven himself good enough for Liverpool, or he's proven himself that he should be partnering Van Dijk, but he's proven that he can play professional football at a good level. And to go there from that to sort of sitting waiting for the Carabao Cup draw, or hoping that, you know, Joel Matip pulls up with an injury, or, you know, Kanate doesn't settle, or whatever it may be, it's not really sort of, you know, something that appeals at this moment in time to him.
Just going to pull back on a thread that you mentioned just slightly earlier about Van Dijk, Gomez, Matip potentially picking something up in maybe pre-season, the training, what you were talking about then. Do you think Liverpool would probably prefer, if possible, to leave the Nat Phillips sale till as late as possible, thinking about that?
Possibly they've done. Yeah, I mean, the risk you have then is obviously your suitors go and find someone else, you know. So Burnley go and buy it. You know, they bought a guy from Stoke, I think, or they're buying a guy from Stoke, but they go and buy another one. Brighton go and, you know, spend their money elsewhere, and all of a sudden, then your offers are less money, or they're loan to buy offers, or they're offers that Nat doesn't fancy. So I think there are risks associated with that, and it's also difficult because you could sort of leave it to the end of August. And as we saw last year, we could leave it, and then 2 weeks after the transfer deadline closes, the injuries come anyway. So, you know, you're not really the risk is there either way. Another interesting one will be to see what they do with Reece Williams, who I think, to me, looks like a prime candidate to go on a decent sized loan this time round and see where he goes. But then you also, I mean, something in the back of my mind, I think, and I wonder, it does make me wonder with it. Are Liverpool so burnt by what happened last season that they just say to one of those two, whether it's Reece, whether it's Nat, whether it's Ben Davis, look, you're going to have to take some short-term pain for the good of the club, and we're going to keep you around. We're going to keep you around until January, because we can't risk being in a situation where we've got nobody to play centre-back in November and December. So it is difficult.
It's going to be Ben Davis, isn't it? And he's not going to get a game because we're not going to get any injuries. You've said it yourself, mate. You've already had the short-term pain. We're going to extend that to medium to long-term pain, Ben.
Ben Davis? He doesn't get talked about. And, you know, he's become this sort of, I wouldn't say figure of fun, but he's become this sort of, you know, like what's going
Does
on?
Does he exist? Hologram, yeah, exactly. Davies. Yeah.
I'd love to see him sort of, at least get the chance to play at Anfield. I think you've played at Anfield more than him, haven't you, since he signed it? it'd be nice to get the chance to do that, you know, because he's not what people say he is. He's not this sort of, you know, competition winner who's just rocked up at Liverpool. He is a serious player who's played a lot of professional games. So it'd be nice to see him at least get a pre-season game or two under his belt.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't perform anywhere near like I did at Anfield, because he wouldn't be getting a move back anywhere near the way he played before us. Okay, we'll move it on then. Not long on these guys, but Harry Wilson, Grewich, Origi, Minamino, Shaqiri. Do you think these are lads that are likely to go out?
Yeah, I think Wilson and Grewich almost certainly. I think they've reached the ceiling of their loan sort of shelf life. I think they've had so many loans. You know, Wilson's had five maybe. Grewich has probably had around the same. I don't think you can keep loaning these players out to 24, 25. I think at some point you have to cut them free, and, you know, whether that means you accept a little bit less than what you might have hoped for at another time. Probably Liverpool have probably missed Harry Wilson's peak. Probably the end of the Bournemouth loan was probably the peak for him. Maybe Grealish, you could say the same, although he had a decent half season at Porto. So I think they'll definitely go. I don't think we'll see all three of Shaqiri, Minamino and Origi go, because I think that would just be a bit of a risk too far. But I wouldn't be surprised if one or two of those went. I think Origi's the likeliest to go. I think he's probably, without the loan element, he's probably at the limit of his sort of, you know, how much can someone take of just being sort of around as a backup. Shaqiri and Minamino, I think you probably could get another season out of in that regard. And probably Origi would, out of the three, I'd say, would probably command the biggest fee as well. So I'd expect at least one of those three to leave, maybe two, but I wouldn't say all three.
Yeah, what about Shaq and his value with the Euros and his performances? Yeah. Do you think people would be looking at that thinking, oh, he can still do it when he's the focus of the team rather than being a backup?
Yeah, but I mean, Shaqiri's one of them, isn't he? Shaqiri never surprises me. You know, when he plays, his quality never surprises me.
He's a quality player.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's what's that, four tournaments? I think he scored in for Switzerland now. He's their all-time tournament leading goal scorer.
Yeah.
He's done it in the Premier League. He's done it in the Bundesliga. He's done it in Serie A. He's done it in the Champions League. But the issue with Shaqiri is fitness and the amount of games he's missed over the last couple of seasons. And he's had a lot of muscle injuries. He's not been available at bad times, really, for Liverpool. When they've been short of players, Keita's in a bit of the same situation. When they've been short of players, Shaqiri, Keita, Oxlade-Chamberlain, they've been missing as well, and they haven't been able to benefit from the sort of the injury crisis, if you like. They've been part of it. So I think that's the bigger question for Shaqiri is, you know, which club is going to pay however much money for someone who over the last two or three years has not got a history of playing 25, 30, 40 games a season.
Absolutely. Okay, then move on. Then Mo Salah, Ibrahima Konate, looks like they could be playing a full part in pre-season for Liverpool. This is obviously really good news, isn't it? And this is because Liverpool can actually reject the Egyptian FA coming in because it's not recognised as a FIFA tournament. It's a mad one because obviously every Liverpool fan, myself anyway, I'll speak for myself, not every Liverpool fan, I'm happy that Mo Salah's not going to the Olympics, but that will strain, I believe, Liverpool and Mo's relationship because we know how important playing for Egypt and leading that country is to Mo Salah. Is there rumblings here of anything so far?
No, I don't think so. I think Egypt have tried to put a lot of pressure on Liverpool and repeatedly do so, and I understand why, because the Egyptian national team is Mo Salah, you know, to almost a complete extent. So the idea of them not having him for a tournament like that, which they're intending to win, obviously won't sit well with their FA and won't sit well with their public and their supporters. But no, I think there's an understanding of Salah, especially with the African nations potentially coming up in January, isn't it, obviously, of next year, that the idea of them going for a month at the start of the season, a month in the middle of the season, and, you know, Liverpool just being sort of fine with that, I think he's realistic enough. He might have a bit of an ego on him, or he might have a bit of a sort of sense of self-worth, but he's not silly. You know, I think he knows that was going to be the case. You know, from Konate's perspective, I don't really know his feelings on the matter, obviously, but I think it would certainly be helpful for him to have the first few weeks of the season with his new club rather than, you know, coming in September time and trying to adapt to life in a new country, a new league, new set of teammates. And also you're sort of 4 weeks behind in terms of the familiarity of the way they're playing and the way the season's panning out. So I think it is good news to Liverpool. And I think it's no surprise that they've put up a fight and they're right to do so.
Yeah, the Egyptian FA president, Ahmed Megahed, what a name, underlined his intention to make one final plea to Liverpool for the release of his country's star man. So I do not want to say that it is impossible for Salah to participate in the Olympics, but it is difficult. We contacted Liverpool to allow Salah to join the Olympic team and they said they were waiting for approval. In the end, Liverpool refused the request because they do not want to lose the player at the beginning of the season. I actually looked into the groups. So they had Argentina, they've got Spain and Australia, I think, was in their group. So, yeah, I mean, four teams to go through. It looked like he might have been coming home on the 28th of July anyway, obviously, if they don't do anything. So he would have been back in time for the Premier League season, but missing that pre-season would be massive, wouldn't it? Neil, thank you so much for joining us. Go on.
Just before you finish, you're also risking, he's going over to Tokyo. We've already seen some cases coming over of COVID in Tokyo. So you are opening up that risk avenue as well. So I think that, I wouldn't say that's a major sort of part, because obviously players go on international duty. But I think that would have certainly been part of Liverpool's thinking, as, you know, he might come home on the 28th of July, but he might have to isolate for 10 days. There could be a situation like that. There's a lot of risk attached to letting the player go.
Absolutely, mate. Well, listen, Neil, thank you so much for joining us today. Been an absolute pleasure. Go and check out Neil on goal.com, and thank you very much to listening to the Red Men TV. We'll speak to you all soon. Ta-ra.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.